Welcome back to this week's edition of the Midweek Reality Check with Michael Pinto, where I try to keep Wall Street and your money real.
Okay, let's be honest. I could feel it. Some of you out there, not most, not a great deal, but some of you out there suffer from the fear of missing out on the AI rally. Let's talk about this rally in the market, quote-unquote market, and let's see how real it really is. So you should know that both the Russell 2000 and the equal weight S&P 500 indexes are down, yes, that's right, down 1.5% year-to-date. Russell 2000, 2,000 stocks, the S&P 500, if you assign the same weighted average to every single component, they're down. They're not up. They're not up 100% like NVIDIA. They're down. The average stock is down for 2023. There is no bull market. It is just a bull market in a few mega cap stocks in the artificial intelligence space that are doing great. You take out Apple, Amazon, Microsoft, NVIDIA, and Meta, and Tesla. Guess what? The average is down. Those stocks I just mentioned equal 30% of the S&P 500 market capitalization. Now, artificial intelligence will prove to be a great productivity enhancer and a boost to GDP growth in the coming years. I intend on buying it in the right macroeconomic condition. Just like I knew to avoid oil in a recession or a slowdown, second derivative slowdown in growth and inflation, I was right there. I'm going to be right as well by not chasing in arrears a massive move in NVIDIA. But do you know, let's look at a context here. Do you know what else promised to be and eventually did prove to be a genuine revolutionary technology that would end up boosting productivity and growth to the extreme? It was the internet. The internet. Back in 1999 and 2000, all a company needed to do was put .com after its name, i.e. pets.com, and the stock would go to the moon, to the thermosphere, actually. It would shoot to the moon and beyond, to the utmost layer of the atmosphere. All they had to do was put .com. Just like today, all you have to do is say, we got an AI application, AI. We're going to be big in AI. And the stock goes up. Now, again, AI is going to be a huge and revolutionary enhancement to computer technology and will prove to boost productivity and growth. Just almost maybe, let's just say it's as good as the internet itself, that's very hard to do. It's like electricity, you know. But let's just say it's going to be as big as the internet. Guess what? That did not stop. The internet in 1999 and 2000 did not stop the recession from coming and a subsequent 80% collapse in tech stocks from 2000 to 2002. And it didn't even stop a 50% drop in the S&P 500, which didn't really even participate that much in the big tech bubble at the turn of the millennium. By the way, the 2001 recession lasted only 8 months. So no, you don't need a brutal and deep and trenchant and earth-shattering recession for bubbles to break with devastating consequences for equities. The total contraction in GDP was just 0.9% in 2001. Ooh, what a shallow recession. But you wouldn't want to own pets.com, that revolutionary technology known as the internet, or everything associated with it. Even Cisco, even the big names, Microsoft, got wiped out. Not because the technology was false, fictitious, and spurious, not because it was it had marginal utility. It was going to be huge, but it just can't survive the macroeconomic fundamentals of a recession and a liquidity crisis. Now, for comparison, let's compare the recession of 2001 to the Great Recession of 2007 through March of 2009. There was a drop of 8.5% in GDP. Again, this was a shallow recession at the bursting of the internet bubble, but those stocks got wiped out. It's the same thing with AI today. Now, the simple fact is that the Fed raised rates to pop the NASDAQ bubble, and they were successful in doing so. In that case, the Fed funds rate went from 4.75% in 1998 to 6.5% by 2000. Turning to today, we have a much bigger equity bubble, coupled with the humongous bond and real estate bubble, which also has caused the Fed to hike interest rates from 0% to 5.25%. And it is also in the process of draining $90 billion per month from its balance sheet. Now, the debt ceiling resolution, which I said would happen so we didn't have to get, you know, hyperbolic about the end of the world and the collapse of America defaulting on its debt, which, by the way, was never even a question, because we could just prioritize income and pay principal, interest, the military, Social Security, Medicare, Medicare for a while. We can Medicaid for a while. We could have done that. But the debt ceiling resolution, let's just talk about what happens now, that could end up being QT on steroids, as the $90 billion of QT will be enhanced by the replenishment of the Treasury General Account. Now, there's a chance that some or a good deal of that TGA replenishment is going to come from the reverse repo market. In that case, it would not be a drain in liquidity. It just would be money coming from the Fed and going back to the Fed. So, I get that, but it's not going to be any longer where the TGA is drained and it's going to be QE offsetting QT. It's just going to be that pure QT at $90 billion plus a month. That's a rate of change that's negative. So how is that going to affect the record equity bubble? Let's just talk about that record equity bubble and how bad it really is. The forward PE ratio, the forward price earnings ratio of the S&P 500 is around 18. Of course, that's the forward, and that's the optimistic BS you get from the deep state of Wall Street, that we're going to have a boom in earnings. However, even if Venus and Jupiter align with Mars, and for some reason gravity stops working, and we do get forward earnings growth to be 10% as predicted by Wall Street, even if we get that, which we never will, the risk premium of stocks is an incredible 0%. There's nothing. There is no, for the first time in my entire life that I can remember of being a financial, licensed financial professional, 32 years, that has never happened before. There's zero risk premium. In other words, the expected return on stocks over and above the risk-free rate I can receive on treasuries is zero. If you take the earnings yield of stocks, which is just the inverse of the PE ratio. So let's just say it's 1 divided by 18, PE ratio 18, inverse 1 divided by 18. And again, assuming that kind of earnings growth is being extremely generous, but we'll do it anyway. Then you subtract that from the current T-bill rate of 5.3%, you get a big, fat, humongous, gargantuan zero. Hence, you are getting no compensation at all whatsoever for taking the extra risk for owning stocks as opposed to just parking your money in short-term treasuries. More on valuation. One of my favorite indicators, as everybody knows, favorite indicators of valuation, which is also shared by Warren Buffett, is the total market cap of equities as a percentage of the underlying economy. That metric is now 155%, a whopping 155%. This figure is now higher than at any other time in history prior to May of 2020. Now, I find that absolutely incredible Remember, that figure, the total market cap of equities as a percentage of GDP, is greater today than at any other time in history prior to May of 2020, prior to the massive COVID stimulus of fiscal and monetary helicopter, you know, checks and all that other stuff that we got dashed around the really around the whole planet. Massive increase in central bank balance sheets and checks coming from governments. That is incredible, given the fact that, especially incredible, given the fact that Q1 GDP is growing at just 1.3%. There's hardly any growth at all in the economy. 1.3% is the growth rate, seasonally adjusted annualized rate, only if you allow for the significant undercounting of inflation. Also, if you measure it by gross domestic income, which mirrors gross domestic product, it's just another way of measuring the productive output of the economy, that metric shows real gross domestic income declined at a minus 2.3% annual rate in Q1. And if you figure in that the earnings per share growth has been negative for the last two quarters in a row, Q4 2022 showed a decline of 1.6%. Q1 of 2023, the quarter just passed, decline is 3.2%. And Q2 of this year's decline is projected to be minus 8.4%. That would be three quarters in a row, Q4 of last year and Q1 of Q2, a massive decline in earnings. So we have GDP that's not growing, and we have earnings that are shrinking. Yet we have the highest valuation of equities at any time prior to May of 2020. However, by Q4, this is the magic of Wall Street. Ready for some Wall Street magic? By Q4 of this year, earnings per share growth is supposed to magically grow by 8.8%. Going into a recession. And I find this overvalued market is even more striking given the fact that the entire banking system is only functioning as a zombie because of the recent bank term funding program bailout. And no, that is not an idiosyncratic problem with a few small regional banks. Just a couple of aberrations, nothing to see here. My friend and bank analyst par excellence, Chris Whalen, points out that none other than the Bank of America could be in big trouble. The bank's gross loan yield, in other words, the entire book of their loans, their assets, their yield was just 4.3% as of Q1 2023. Meaning this bank, this major, you know, systemically important financial institution has to raise its deposit rate towards the level of what their customers could get on a treasury bill in order to keep their deposit there. However, with the current T-bill rate about 100 basis points higher, what the bank is currently earning on its assets, the problem is clear. I mean, the bank could just not raise rates for their depositors and watch a bank walk become a bank run. Or it can choose to raise rates on its deposits above what it is collecting on its assets and watch the bank become insolvent. What a choice. Now, that is obviously a huge problem for the banking system, how much loans they can generate, and its continued solvency. Now, I think the recession has probably already arrived and it's going to be a bad one. Forget about that small little blip in 2000. It's going to be a bad one. And if you doubt that, just look at the WTI, West Texas Intermediate crude price. It's down 40% year over year. Economic demand around the world is collapsing, and yet inflation remains sticky for now. It rose 5% year over year, and it was up 0.4% month over month in April from just 0.1% month over month in March. So, if I was the Fed, I'd say, oh, look, the current rate of inflation is 2.5 times my target rate. Oh, and by the way, it's accelerating faster month over month. And if you think the Fed is going to have it easy, just look at home prices, which are already unaffordable and the most expensive relative to incomes ever. The Case-Shiller National Home Price Index increased 0.4% in March compared with February, and that was the second back-to-back month-over-month increase. So home prices stopped falling temporarily, for now, and that can't be good news for poor Mr. Powell. It can't be good news for inflation either, and it's really, really bad news for the middle class. But lucky enough for Mr. Powell, the bottom is about to fall out of inflation because the bottom is about to crater from underneath the economy. And the current dance with disinflation, we have disinflation from 9% to 5%. That's a rate of change of rate of change decrease. Will become a deflationary bust, paving the way for Powell the pivoter to pivot back towards free money, 0% interest rates, and as a kicker, maybe we'll just make the bank term funding program permanent and go back to QE. The next significant move in the market is to the downside. Ironically, the catalyst could be the increase in the debt ceiling where liquidity is drained at a faster pace. In addition, the inexorable lags of monetary tightening continue to weigh on the economy and continue to put downward pressure on growth. We will monitor the deterioration of financial conditions for the timing as to when to add shorts to the portfolio. In the interim, we will wait patiently, collecting the safest of dividends and interest into the portfolio, and hopefully make money as this recession becomes fully manifest, and then, of course, wait for the inevitable switch back to a reliquification of the banking system and an attempt to boost asset prices from collapsing to make sure we don't miss the next bull market either. That may be the perfect time to start investing in AI at much better prices.
Thank you so much for listening to this edition of The Reality Check, 5 minutes of sanity in an insane world. Please remember, if you're not already an investor with PPS, you can email me directly using mpento@pentoport.com or call the office using 732-772-9500 to get information about our portfolio services. You should also go to Amazon and order my book, The Coming Bond Market Collapse. Subscribers should contact an investment advisor before acting on any information contained in this podcast. No information on this podcast constitutes an offer to sell or buy any financial instruments or to provide any investment services. Subscribers understand there's an inherent risk in investing. PPS is a registered investment advisor.